Hello, everyone, and thanks for listening to the Quality Hub, chatting with ISO experts. I'm your host, Xavier Francis, and I'm here with Suzanne Weber-Smotko, Manager of Consultant Services here at Core Business Solutions. So glad you could be here with us again today, Suzanne.
I'm glad to be here, X.
Today's show is entitled Maturing Your QMS, and we will look at how leadership, metrics, employee engagement, and more will help you to mature your QMS. Now, if you've listened to the Quality Hub before, you may already be familiar with Suzanne Weber-Smotko, but in case you haven't, let's learn a little bit more about her. Could you share a little bit more about what you do and who you are?
Sure. I've been in quality for a little over 30 years in quality management systems and at all levels of quality. Started off, you know, as a quality clerk all the way up to a corporate quality director and all of those positions in between. So I have a vast variety of experience in quality.
With all of that experience, let's get started with the first question. What do you see as the main challenges in maturing a quality management system after you've reached certification?
I think there's probably four or five challenges in my experience people have when it comes to maturing a quality management system. I would say the first is lack of commitment from management. You know, if a company doesn't have a management system that is supported by management or your leadership teams, then your teams or employees will not treat quality as a priority. So you can expect bad quality, which can also result in loss of business. It is evident to customers, suppliers, external registrars, or any interested party, for that matter, if quality is not a company priority.
So it really does start from the top down.
Absolutely.
If your employees aren't feeling that management leadership doesn't care, why should I?
Sure. Lead by example. You'll probably hear that later on. Yep. But I would say, secondly, overcomplicating a quality management system. You know, we keep it simple. It used to be years ago, they used to be a lot more complex. But now one of our mottos is to keep it simple. You don't have to document everything. And you must be able to demonstrate that you have competent people doing jobs that meet or exceed the outcome of your products or services. So it's all about demonstration. And you can very easily overcomplicate it by over-documenting. I'm not saying that not having standard operating procedures or all of your processes documented isn't a good thing. It's great for sustainability. However, a lot of people like to overcomplicate things because they want to document everything right up front. And you certainly don't need that to be registered.
And you also need to do what you say you're going to do.
Absolutely.
So if you document it, technically it could be auditable.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing it, that could be a finding.
Yep.
In future surveillance audits.
Sure.
And recertification audits.
Yes.
So if you do want to find the things that matter and continue to add on to those things
and
keeping it simple.
Well, you know, especially for small businesses, you have resource constraints, right? I mean, you don't have limited resources to work on things. So it allows you, when you simplify your quality management system, it allows you on documenting the things that give you the biggest bang for your buck. So it allows you to focus your resources so that you can make data-driven decisions and positively impact your bottom line.
Makes sense. Anything else?
Yeah, I would say the third thing that comes to my mind is lack of training or engagement buy-in. You know, if you don't engage and train employees on your policy, your objectives of your management system, what you're going to measure, they don't understand how they contribute. And employees contribute every day to the success of a company by doing what they do every day, following work instructions, reporting issues. And those are the type of things that we'll get into later on about why you document certain things.
Okay. So getting that buy-in.
Yep.
Again, top down.
Yeah.
This is important to us. Explaining it's why it's important to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say the next thing that comes to my mind is resource constraints, especially in small businesses. You know, we struggle with the resources because they wear so many hats. Dedicating one employee to own an entire management system is not how it's supposed to work, but engaging everyone to own a portion of that. So, for example, ownership of a process and those owners handling audits responsible to look at the data in their respective areas, ownership, you know, kind of gives ownership, which also falls in line after that is engagement. So you're engaging people. And that's a good segue into the last challenge of maturing your quality management system is the change in culture. Getting everyone to engage and understand the value in the quality management system often results in better performance overall. For example, building your work instructions rather than, having a manufacturing engineer write all of your work instructions and provide it to unskilled labor, which many of us have, on the shop floors and as operators, actually doing the work, engaging that employee or operator to help writing in the instructions ties them in and gets them very engaged.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, they're the ones that have the best handle on.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe knows if that machine is persnickety in a certain way because Joe's worked with that machine for 20 years.
Sure.
So you go home and say, hey, here's your instructions. I mean, Joe's going to look at you, might laugh at you like, really?
Yeah.
Nobody asked me about this. So you're almost, by not doing it, you're almost putting a wedge in between leadership and your common worker on the shop floor. So if you don't have that engagement initially, it could actually be worse than if you didn't do anything at all. Perhaps.
Right. And most importantly, it allows that employee to be engaged in actually writing the work instructions because they know how to do it the right way, or they know the ins and outs of, like you said, the equipment or even just the process.
You know, let's go back to what you were talking about with resource constraints too. You know, the phrase is many hands make light work. And I know in my experience over my life, I'm learning that all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, I think
day.
I've learned it. And then I'm like, no, I'm trying to do it all myself. Why don't I delegate a little bit or ask for a little bit of help or talk to the person that actually does the job,
yes.
You know, instead of me trying to, you know, to reinvent the wheel that's already been used for 20 years.
Yeah.
And I think that with resource constraints, you were saying earlier, as you're focused on keeping it simple, getting everybody to partake of it, you're probably going to get throughput to get those done and continue on more than if you try to bite everything at once.
Yeah, it becomes a culture then.
Yeah.
Yep.
So those are the five main challenges you see for maturity of the QMS. How can a quality management system be enhanced to ensure ongoing compliance and its effectiveness?
You know, it's all about continuously improving to protect your bottom line, along with your quality product or service and your customer satisfaction. You know, you identify ways to measure how well your processes are doing, metrics. This mm-hmm. allows you to make data-driven decisions on how you want to focus your time and resources. Again, you can't boil the ocean, and you want to focus on the things that are going to impact your bottom line positively. You continue to identify and document continuous improvement initiatives. You identify and mitigate any risks proactively, not mm-hmm. reactively. That's the mistake that a lot of businesses make, is they're not addressing risks until something happens, and then it's too late. So the standard is really driven around risk-based thinking, and
yeah,
it really wants
you
to be proactively looking at things rather than reactively.
Well, also, if you're looking at it proactive, you get to make a choice before something may happen.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're looking at, you know, this is a potential problem. I know here at CORE that our leadership has us looking into some things, and it's across the board at different departments, and it's helping us get a head start on things that might affect our business down the road. So that's a risk, but we're turning it into a potential opportunity if we're paying attention to it before other people may.
Yeah, and that's the intent. I mean, when we take our customers through certification projects, for example, you know, we have to go through a risk analysis and improvement plan. What I like to use is, there's two that come to mind that I like to use as examples, is succession planning. Mm-hmm. Small businesses, again, they're constrained on resources. But if you don't identify those key roles, and something happens to somebody who's in a key role, you have a big gap.
Yeah.
And it impacts the business. It impacts the customer. So write down what those key roles are and have those key roles identify what they do on a day-to-day so that you don't have those gaps when somebody's out.
And then have a plan of how we're going to help mitigate that. I know
sure.
that cross-training helps a lot.
Yes.
If you have somebody that's...
Have backup plans in place.
Yeah.
You know, the other big one, X, is cybersecurity, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't take that seriously. But in reality, if you don't proactively mitigate that risks and put some actions in place, well, you know what? It can cost your company millions,
or
shut you down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's something you can't mess around
exactly.
with as well. And I mean, that's one of the things that we do here at CORE. We talk about that. We work with people. We do work with 27001, which is the ISO standard to handle cybersecurity, actually information security, more than just what's digital.
Sure.
And those are things you just have to pay attention to. But if, again, we're being intentional, we're looking at it before it becomes a problem.
Proactive. Be proactive. Yep. I would say that the other items that come to mind to ensure that you're being compliant and your quality management system is being effective is, you know, it's a requirement. You have to conduct your management reviews at a frequency that you define. Get your team together as a team to discuss the agenda items so that you are all strategically aligned. That is the intent there. It's not just a document to management review. There's many companies that work in silos. This is meant for your leadership team to get together to make sure you're all strategically walking in the same direction.
Absolutely. And outputs from that meeting should be the inputs to your next meeting.
Yes.
So it's not just, hey, let's get together. How are things doing? Great.
Yeah, there's a specific agenda item that you go down, and it makes you talk about your QMS foundational documentation. It makes you talk about your infrastructure. It makes you talk about resources. It makes you talk about all of the things that you are required to discuss in a management review. If you sit down and look at the agenda, it's evident to you that you're making sure that everyone's on the same page, right?
Right.
You know, when
and
it comes
probably
to all
a lot
those
of the things that you're that we talked about in the four or five things you said, it can be the biggest challenge. Are probably some of the things you're going to be talking about in management meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. And then conducting your internal audits, right? You have to do your internal audits. So if you're continuously improving and you are identifying your risks to mitigate them and be proactive, you're performing your management reviews, you're conducting your internal audits, you're documenting your non-conformances and corrective actions, you're documenting your customer feedback. Those are all things that the standard requires you to document so that you can specifically do trends and analysis on it to make sure that your quality management system is effective, because it's all about making data-driven decisions.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we have mentioned this before in this podcast, but since it's a major key, let's really talk about it. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what role leadership and employee engagement play in the ongoing success? We touched on it quite a bit here, but is there anything else that kind of gives you a sense of really getting that into your culture?
Again, I mean, you have to lead by example. If employees see that the leadership takes quality seriously, they will engage. You know, employees will engage. They'll take ownership of their respective areas, and that benefits your business in all aspects. It drives accountability. It drives ownership. You know, what leadership doesn't realize is that this is the opportunity to hold people accountable, right? You have managers in your You have managers and leaders and supervisors within your organization that are seeking to have some type of ownership, not just be there just to do their day-to-day.
Right.
So it allows the leadership team to hold some accountability to those people to own quality, because it's everyone's responsibility. It's, again, it's not just your management representative or your quality manager's responsibility. Everybody has to own it.
Right. All leadership. From middle manage,
yes,
even the person that just managing on the floor, they're taking that and they're owning it.
Well, a lot of people have problems with accountability.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You don't like conflict, or you don't like this, or you don't like that. But if you want to run a business successfully, you have to hold people accountable. You have to give them ownership, and you do that by engaging them, allowing them to own specific items. You know, when we talk about metrics, you talk about you know, supervisors on the shop floor, you know, in the manufacturing world, there's all kinds of things that you can measure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Efficiencies and utilizations and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Well, you know, if you're measuring that and you hold a supervisor accountable to meeting a certain goal, they're more likely going to perform and identify those things that you need to improve upon.
Right.
So that they can be successful, which ultimately makes leadership be successful.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's got to start from the top down, but as your quality management system matures, you start to see it work from the bottom up.
A lot of times you'll see management, they almost want to hold their cards to their chest, especially if they're trying to advance. Well,
flow it down.
Yeah, flow. Yeah.
Share the
exactly.
love.
Exactly. Not only share the load, but if you tell Joe, who's run that machine for 20 years, hey, this is your baby. Joe's going to tell you, one, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
Might not, but you're going to notice that Joe. Two, if there's a problem, he's going to jump on it and take it to you before he might otherwise and say, hey, I've got a problem with this, so I can't be as productive as normally. This machine's got an issue. And then, of course, the person who owns it at the supervisor level goes, well, I need to kick this upstairs because it's going to reflect on me. And that whole ownership, it's hard, I think, for some people to see that.
Yeah. And in other standards, it actually, you know, you start getting into ethical behaviors, right? People have to feel comfortable with bringing up problems and taking ownership.
Right.
You know, if you're in an environment where people don't feel comfortable enough to bring up problems, you have to worry when people are quiet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
'Cause then they're disengaged or they're upset.
Yes.
Or they're just like, forget it, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you don't want any employee at any level.
Yeah.
So you touched on this a little bit too, but how can data and metrics be used to measure the ongoing success and effectiveness of your quality management systems? And with that, what are some key metrics you think people should track?
Well, it allows you, again, to make data-driven decisions and focus on areas that require the most attention. You know, if you measure it, you're managing it properly. If you are measuring something and your results are not satisfactory or meet your goal, it allows you to put time and resources into actions that will actually improve the performance of a particular process, you know, ultimately giving you a better result. So it allows you to do a deep dive into the root cause of why you're not meeting those goals so that you can fix it.
So you see a problem, we're not meeting a goal. Why aren't we meeting that goal?
Start doing a deep dive.
Yep.
You know, like for example, on-time delivery. Are you delivering to your customers when they need it? You know, you'll be surprised for how many companies don't measure much at all. How do you know that you're delivering on time? Do you take that customer's purchase order date needed and put it into your system? And do you measure against whether some people do it by schedule attainment on a manufacturing mm-hmm. shop floor? You quote a certain lead time, and are you making that schedule? Are you meeting that quoted lead time?
And the thing that too is, if you're looking at it, you're measuring it, and you see it, it doesn't mean that a red flag doesn't mean someone's in trouble. It means let's find the problem.
Yeah.
So if you're measuring it and you can see that there's a problem.
It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's not a negative thing.
Right, right.
You know?
Too many people see that it is. I think they don't want to look at metrics because...
No, you're measuring it to identify continuous improvement.
Yes, yes.
That's how you're going to be
exactly.
successful.
You're not measuring to say, where are the problems?
Right.
You are measuring it to say, how can we make this better?
How can we make it better?
Where is there something that we need to pay attention
yeah,
to?
Yeah, because that's a thorn in someone's side.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
It's either sales is, you know, they're hearing it from the customer mm-hmm. or the general managers or the leadership team in one way or another are listening to how dissatisfied customers are. And
right.
it falls into some of the other metrics that you can measure. Product defects, right? If mm-hmm. customer's not happy because you have product defects, well, start looking at how many rejects you have at final. Start looking at first pass yield, product that goes through the first time good without any kind of rework or fixing or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you start writing down the reasons why those products have defects, and you start writing down the reasons of why they didn't make it through the first time good, that's going to start giving you the data you need to be able to identify where you need to go and look.
Right. Is it something that we need to pay attention to training?
Is it training?
Is it the machine?
Is it the machine?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is it the capability?
Well, clearly you have a ton of experience in maturing quality management systems. And that's one of the reasons we have you on the podcast today. But do you have a story or an example of working with a company who's really excelled in this maturation of their quality management system?
One in particular that comes to mind is their ISO 9000
mm-hmm. so they're
machine shop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they didn't have any idea what ISO was when they first came in. So obviously educated them along the way. They've gotten certified. They were successful in certification. I think they came out of their external, you know, audit with maybe one nonconformance.
So they did pretty
which
well.
Which was very well. You know, they took it upon themselves to, they didn't document anything either. Like they didn't document customer feedback. They didn't document nonconformances. They didn't document corrective actions. They didn't measure anything. They started measuring things and they didn't have an improvement plan. Like they didn't have a continuous improvement plan. Like all the things, every yeah. little thing you should take credit for and document. You know, have evidence that you're committed to continuous improvement, because if it's not in writing, it doesn't happen, right?
Right. So they had none of that.
So they had none of that. They have a improvement plan that they meet with quarterly. They update their improvement plan for things that they're closing. They're obviously focusing on the things that impact the business the mm-hmm. most, which is all the measurements out on the shop floor. So they have started measuring, like they have some quality objectives like customer satisfaction mm-hmm. and product defects and supplier performance, but they started measuring all kinds of things out on their shop floor. They have seen a significant reduction in rework and scrap. It's a funny story because a lot of people struggle with this, but they never measured on-time delivery.
Okay.
And they were putting a promise date into their ERP system based on their lead time, and it wasn't necessarily the customer when the customer needed it.
Oh, so that's a real fun one right there.
So we turned it around and we said, no, when does your customer need it? And are you shipping it by that date? And they have significantly improved their customer complaints. So it's a success story in itself that they're making data-driven decisions. Mm-hmm. They started, not only did they have to identify 3 to 5 quality objectives when we initially started the project, but they took it and they ran with it. And that allowed them to start focusing on more granularity and really get to the root cause of things. And it's really, really good to see customers who engage and
they see that value of what they're doing.
Yeah.
Do you find in those kinds of stories that one of the reasons they get more granular is because they see the improvement working and they're like, well, what else can we find that we could get better at? Do you feel that success leads to them wanting to succeed more?
We are going on year 2 and absolutely. I mean, they've got the pedal to the metal.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again for being here, for sharing these experiences, stories, your expertise, and all the ways that a quality management system is going to help business. Really appreciate you being here today.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it, X.
And we want to thank everyone for listening to our podcast today. We hope it's been informative for you. And be sure to check out the Quality Podcast next week. Have a great day.